Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Marriage is when you agree to spend the rest of your life sleeping in a room that's too warm beside someone who's sleeping in a room that's too cold. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, just shut up. Marriage is like twirling a baton, turning handsprings, or eating with chopsticks. It looks easy until you try it. And finally, the four D's of marriage, written by someone who obviously had a bad experience with marriage. Depression, despair, drinking, and divorce. It doesn't have to be like that. No, it doesn't have to be like that. That's why I've been the last couple of weeks talking to you about the importance of marriage. And so these Sundays in between Mother's Day and Father's Day, which will be next week, I've been talking about the significance of marriage. We still believe in the God-ordained institution of marriage. And I've called this series on marriage, Marriage. Marriage. And if you haven't been with us at all the last 3 weeks, this is where this title comes from. That is from The Prince's Bride movie, 1987. As a matter of fact, we have a family movie night here at the church, June 23rd. And we're going to show The Prince's Bride. For those of you who've never seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a while, it's a cute movie. It's Renee's all-time favorite movie. Now, because it's Renee's all-time favorite movie, she knows it pretty well, inside and out, and she informs me that there's one curse word in the entire movie. So we're going to do our very best to censor that, leap it out, but it'll still be worth your time. We'll have a good time. Family movie night, we will watch The Prince's Bride. I've also shown you expert marriage tips from a guy's perspective. Today I want to show you an expert wife tip from his wife's perspective.
Four wife tips. Spice up the kitchen cleaning by sending your husband a photo of a fake cockroach under the sink. This site will trigger his cleaning instincts, resulting in a thoroughly clean kitchen since he's terrified of bugs. Stay tuned for more wife tips.
I thought it was real.
They're a pretty sharp couple. I follow them online and they keep marriage light and fun. In 5 days, Renee and I will celebrate what happened 29 years ago. Here's a picture to show you what happened 29 years ago this week. No jokes about how one of us still looks the same and one of us has changed quite a bit. 29 years ago this week. It is absolutely incredible to even think about that. I remember before the ceremony, I remember thinking to myself that, you know, during the ceremony, I was going to be very nervous, but actually, it felt right. I wasn't nervous. It was a great day, and I'm so grateful that God has blessed me with a wonderful wife and a partner in ministry for the last 29 years. So 29 years for us. Shout out from those of you who are married or have been married, how many years for you?
21.
21.
Nine.
Wait.
Nine.
44.
It'll be nine on the
15th. Nine. 53.
Would have been
58.
13 tomorrow.
Five.
15.
18. 40. Anyone else? Zero. That's going to change for you someday, I believe it. Hey, we celebrate the institution of marriage because it's a gift from God. So I began this series talking about the ministry of marriage. I believe with all my heart, if a man and woman are going to come together in Christian marriage, you must view marriage as a ministry, locking arms together and saying, how are we going to serve God as husband and wife, and then how are we going to serve our community? I remember several years ago, a young couple came to the church and they wanted to get married. So I tried to do some counseling with them, but they wanted a comic book wedding. They wanted to dress up in whatever comic book heroes, and they wanted everybody who came to be dressed up as a comic book hero. And had I agreed to it, it would have been the first wedding I officiated dressed as the Incredible Hulk, you know? But I didn't end up marrying them, and I urged them to pursue a civil wedding because it became apparent to me that they weren't taking the institution of marriage seriously. They didn't want to come together to serve God. They just wanted a party. And so we need to take marriage seriously. It is instituted by God. If a marriage is going to work, a Christian marriage, you must view it as a ministry. Then I talked about the mystery of marriage. And the Apostle Paul makes it very clear in other passages in the Bible that there's a divine mystery in this God-ordained institution of marriage. And I believe that couples begin to drift apart if they lose the awe and mystery of what God has done in bringing them together. And so sometime this week, if you are married, look at your spouse and say, you are a mystery. And then spouse, you can look back at them and say, you are mysterious. But there is a mystery to this God-ordained institution of marriage. Then last week I talked and I gave you some myths about marriage, some common misconceptions about marriage that have kind of crept into even the church, and how we can avoid them and avoid the pitfalls. Today, in what is hopefully perhaps the most practical of these messages, I want to talk to you about the mechanics of marriage. Some very practical, down-to-earth things that we can put into our, not only our marriages, but any of our human relationships to make them meaningful and relationally fulfilling. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, last year, if you were with us, you know I did a several month-long series through 1 and 2 Peter, and it was just a great series because Peter preaches itself. There's some good things in Peter. There's two verses I want to focus in on that can help us as we talk about the mechanics of marriage, just the nuts and bolts of making a Christian marriage work and making sure that our marriages are honoring to God and honoring to each other. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to read verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 7. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. And then jump down to verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I just want to give you eight basic relational needs that we need to incorporate, again, not only in our marriages, but these eight relational needs can be applied to any of our human relationships, whether it's my friendship with Mike or Tim or Gene, or certainly my marriage to Renee, or my relationship to my children. These are not earth-shattering. You've heard them before. You're not going to leave church today going, whoa, I learned something new. But hopefully you will be reminded of the value of these eight simple, basic, and yet profound relational needs that we must incorporate into our relationships, and in particular into our marriages, to make them God-honoring and relationally fulfilling. And the first is this: to make our marriages work, to make any relationship work that seeks to honor Christ, there is the need to be loved. You've got to know that you're loved and that that love is reciprocated. And I would say this is what distinguishes any of our relationships from the relationships and the acquaintances out in secular society. We are a people of love. And we must love sacrificially. We must love and be loved and reciprocate love in a way that is honoring to God and to our spouse. Many years ago, I got to thinking to myself, you know, I want to do a better job of showing Renee and telling Renee that I love her. And this idea came to me. I didn't read it in a book or anything. It just came to me. I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take an entire month, and I'm just going to sit down and intentionally write her a note of love and appreciation every day in that month. At first, it seems like a daunting task. I mean, who does that? But I said, I just want to do it. I want to sit down on a 3x5 card or a sticky note or a half a sheet of paper, whatever it was, and I'm just going to write to Renee how much I love her, how much I appreciate her, how much she means to me. And so I did, day one, and I gave her the note. And at first she was like, what's this? You know, what are you doing? What do you want? Then day two, then day three, day 15, day 21, day 28, day 31. I stuck with it every single day for an entire month. One of the unintended consequences of that, and I'm not making this up at all, was that exactly 9 months later, Micah was born. And if you want to know the mechanics of how all that works, you can talk to our biologist, Tracy. She's offered to help you with all that. The point of that was, it makes a difference when you just intentionally tell people, show people, especially your spouse, how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. When I put on social media a few weeks ago that I was speaking on marriage, I had a pastor message me, and he's given me permission to share this with you. He actually pastored here in Junction City. I think he started the Nazarene Church in Junction City. He's been in Arizona now for many, many years. But he wrote me this, and I want to share this with you. As a pastor of 44 years, I've had many wives tell me that they aren't sure if their husbands will be there if things get ugly when they are older. I think many wives think that they take their vows more seriously than their husbands do. Most of the Christian husbands I know are more committed to their vows than their wives think they are. I spent 5 years as my wife's caregiver right up until the night she died. I try to reassure the wives in my congregation that their Christian husbands will be there for them no matter what. Christian marriage is so much more than a partnership. It really is the two becoming one. Losing a spouse is like losing a big part of yourself. It hurts, but only because the love was so good. And so I think at the very core of how God created us, He created us with a need to be loved. That's why we receive the love of God. And we receive the love of God so that we then can give the love of God. And so, if you're thinking about getting married, or you are married, you must be a conduit of God's love. Another basic relational need that we must have to make our marriages and relationships work is the need to be understood. This is easier said than done. God created us men different than you ladies. Our minds think differently. Our minds function differently. And it can be very difficult to be able to truly understand each other. And by the way, as I go through these, no elbowing your spouse, no whispering, hey, listen to this. None of that. This is for all of us, okay? I remember one couple came to me for counseling and they could not understand each other at all. They talked past each other. They could not communicate. It was the worst case I'd ever seen. Seriously. They couldn't talk. They didn't hear each other. They didn't listen to each other. They just each spoke blah, 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 and they could not understand. And so I had to take a drastic measure, and this is what I told them to do. And it worked for a while, and I told them this is just temporary. But I said, guys, you're not even listening to each other. You're not understanding each other. You're not comprehending each other. You're just talking past each other, and you're making things worse. I said, this is what you need to do for the next week, and let's see if it works. You are going to communicate by texting each other, all right? Because obviously, verbally, you're not making any headway. And that's what they did for the next week. They would text each other. And that was a baby step in helping them slow down long enough to be able to actually try to understand each other. I mentioned last week, if there's enough interest, we can hold the seminar in our church called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And it's been around for several years now. But one of the reasons why it's such a powerful marriage seminar is because the pastor, his name, and speaker, his name is Mark Gunger, does a fantastic job of helping explain why men and women are different as God created and intended, and how we can learn to better understand each other if we understand the differences in how God made us. I've got a 2-minute clip to show you. It's the opening session of the marriage conference, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And if there's enough interest in our church, we can hold it here in our church for free. But this gives you just a glimpse of how it is that we can begin to learn to understand each other.
Welcome to Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I'm so glad you're here. This is the marriage seminar for people who hate marriage seminars. Hoo-ah! All right? I get a kick out of watching the couples when they first come in on Friday nights. You know, the girls, they're all lit up, you know, just, ooh, I got him here, I got him here, I got him here, you know. And the guy's going, oh, man, I can't believe, you know, I got here. But it's cool, guys. You can relax. You're going to love it. This is not one of those let's beat up on the men for not being women seminars. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. What is it with that anyway? Man, you know, you ask a lot of women to describe their ideal man, and they'll describe another woman. What's up with that? You know? So we're not going to do that. We are going to just go with this thing in a normal, healthy way. We're men. Men are men. We're not sick. We're not perverted. We're not twisted. You know, we're not broken. We're men. All right? And God, yeah, hoo-ah. And God made us the way we are for a reason. And I'm going to show you girls what that reason is. Okay? And I'm going to try and explain to you the world of men a little bit through this thing. We'll also discuss the women's side of things as well. But I really want you to understand this men thing. Women are much more complicated than men. Men are very simple.
That's just a little glimpse how he begins, and he does a masterful job of getting into the differences between men and women, and how if we really understand our spouse and the way God made us, it will make a world of difference. And so if you are interested, if there's enough interest, we can have this seminar right here in our church free of charge. So there's a need to be loved. There's a need to be understood. There's a need to be heard. If you want to make your marriage work, you've got to intentionally listen to your spouse. Easier said than done. Because even in our culture today, everybody is shouting their opinion. And nobody is really being heard. However, I'm seeing signs that things are changing. I noticed last year, the end of last year, on into this year, in conversations that I've been a part of or have seen, I have witnessed more people catch themselves mid-conversation and say, "I'm sorry I interrupted you. Continue what you were saying." To me, that is a reassuring sign that the people of faith, anyway, are catching themselves and saying, "Whoa, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Please finish what you're saying," and then give active listening an opportunity to hear what the other person is saying. If you don't feel heard in a marriage, you, as you know, will feel isolated, lonely, and desperate. Communication, as the marriage experts tell us, is probably the number one issue in a marriage. You've got to be able to communicate, which means not only asserting yourself, but being assertive in listening and understanding what the other person is saying. The need to be loved, the need to be understood, the need to be heard, the need to be affirmed. You need to be affirmed as a human being, as a spouse, as your partner's best friend, as your partner's lover. There has to be a mutual affirmation that you're not just an average person on the streets. You are God's chosen spouse for your partner. And there's a mutual affirmation of who you are, not only as spouse, but as God's beloved, God's handiwork, God's gift to you. Do you know what this means we have to do if we want to practice affirmation? And this is true for all of us, myself included. We have to put down our dumb phones and actually pay attention to our spouse. They need to be loved. They need to be understood. They need to be heard. They need to be affirmed. They need to be safe. It's a basic human need to be safe. Husbands, we've got to make sure our wives are safe physically, emotionally, relationally. They say that that is a woman's, one of her greatest need is to be protected by her man. But that also means for a wife, you can't belittle your husband. He needs to be safe. He needs to know that you're not going to put him down or continually find fault. Because that is perhaps one of the greatest ways to hurt a man, is to continually belittle him. And so you need to make your husband feel safe. That, he's not perfect, but you don't have to remind him of that every day. The next need is the need to belong. You've got to feel like you belong not only to each other, but to a greater cause, which is the family of God. And when you feel like you belong, there is a cohesiveness, there is a beautiful harmony that just makes your marriage sing and work wonderfully. Now, I have to be careful with sports analogies because not everyone is into sports. So I try not to use too many sports analogies. But my Denver Nuggets are one game away from winning their first ever NBA Finals tomorrow night. So if you call me or text me tomorrow between 5 and 8, I'm probably not going to answer the phone, okay? Because I'm going to be watching Game 5 of the NBA Finals. But here's the neat thing about the Denver Nuggets. And I'm not just saying this because I was born in Denver and I grew up watching them. And, you know, they've never gotten this far. But here's the thing about watching them. They play as a beautiful, cohesive unit. Most championship teams do. Most championship teams, whatever sport, when you get to this level, yeah, there may be a superstar on the team, but they play cohesively. And the Nuggets really have a couple superstars, but they don't want the attention. Even if you're not a basketball fan, try to watch the game tomorrow. The way they pass effortlessly. The way they seem to know each other. The way they work as a team. It is a beautiful thing to watch. All five players on that court work as a cohesive unit. They belong as a team. And that's why they're going to win the championship tomorrow night. And the same is true with a marriage. You've got to work effortlessly. You each belong. You, wife, you have your strengths. Husband, you have your strengths. Wife, you have your weaknesses. Husband, you have your weaknesses. But you meld all that together and you learn to work cohesively as a team and you will have a championship marriage. And so this need to belong and work together effortlessly will help make your marriage go a long way. The next need is the need to be respected. I can't tell you how many couples I've worked with and counseled with where there's just a lack of basic respect. And it's heartbreaking. I remember one couple, and I hadn't known them very long, but the way he was talking to his wife, hurt my heart. And it didn't surprise me that a week later, she's reaching out to me saying, "I'm not happy." And I said to her, "I could tell. Just by the way he's talking to you." And finally, a need to be valued. I heard a very unique quote a couple of weeks ago. People don't quit their jobs because of their work. They typically quit their jobs because of their bosses. And the more I think about that, and the more I hear stories, the more that's true. Most people want to work. Most people want to work hard. Most people do work hard. But most people give up on their jobs because their supervisor or coworkers devalue them, don't appreciate them, don't acknowledge them. And the more I think about that, the more it's true. And I think the same is true in marriage. I don't think most people want to give up on marriage. I think in theory, for most people, the concept of marriage sounds good and it sounds appealing. And if all of these values can be met, who wouldn't want to be married?
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org, and I hope you have a great day.